granted what God wants to do in a supernatural way, which we have a tendency to do. It's like, oh, okay, wow, yeah, somebody got healed in another land. Cool. No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And again, because otherwise your own faith is being depleted. You got to trust God. If you want to see miracles, you got to be willing to pray. And if you want to see miracles, you have to be willing to pray and not see anything happen and still pray. Amen? I feel, again, I've said for years, I can say I've said it for years because I've got gray hair now. It's literal. Is again, if you want to see 5 major miracles in your life, be willing to pray for 100 people. And that means 95 times you will see nothing happen. Are you willing to do that? Yeah. Right? See, because again, we all say, yeah, I want to see miracles. Okay, well, be willing to put your faith on the line. I'll be willing to put your faith out there. Mackenzie's testimony was great for that, putting yourself in an uncomfortable place. You want to see God do big things? It's not going to be from the comfortable place. That's reality. You want to see God do big things, but we want it in the comfortability of our own setting. That doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. If you want to see God move, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable. But we want to see God move, right? All right, God, then help me embrace the uncomfortable. Help me be one who says, God, he said, do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. Make that your prayer. That's a scary prayer. That's a scary prayer, if you dare to pray that, all right? Again, God wants to do some wild stuff. So our series for Christmas here is, Do You Hear What I Hear? Of course, we just heard the song, right? Do you hear what I hear? Let's sing it together. Do you hear what I hear? Do it again. Do you hear? Okay, it didn't get any better, but it got louder, okay? But it was sung from the heart. Do you hear what I hear? You know, that's a song that we've grown up with, right? And, you know, growing up, I always thought it was like one of those old hymns, you know, that we had for years and years. It's actually written in my lifetime. In 1962, it was written. 1962. And we have a few people here who remember that. I was too young to remember it. But we have a few. I won't point you out. And what was going on at that time, what prompted this song, was the Cuban Missile Crisis. Okay, has anyone not heard of the Cuban Missile Crisis? Okay, there's one honest person. Okay, all right. So yeah, there's a few. Okay, there's the hands. Okay, look, the Cuban Missile Crisis happened in 1962, and the world, the United States and Russia, were like on the brink of a war. And what had happened in 1961, we'll give you a quick history lesson. Some of you have heard of the Bay of Pigs, right? Who's not heard of the Bay of Pigs? Okay, more. Okay, in 1961, the CIA in our country backed Cuban people who were exiled. We backed them, we trained them to sneak back into Cuba and try to overthrow Castro, who took over in 1959. It was a total disaster. Okay, it was a total disaster. That was in late 61. Okay, so in 1962, Russia was aligned with Cuba. They decided to put ballistic missiles there as a deterrent, trying to show a force of strength. And these ballistic missiles could hit almost the whole continental United States. And this put everyone into a state of fear. Okay, and it was in this fear that this married couple, Rigney and Baker, that they wrote this song. They said, actually, we were having some writer's block, but when this happened, they were stirred. They were stirred. And so they wrote this song crying out that there would be, that God would give us goodness and light to the kings and the people everywhere. You know, listen to what I see. He was saying, again, the whole thing was written out of fear. Actually, they wrote in an interview later on, they said, our little song broke us up. Like they said, he couldn't finish it without crying. He said, you must realize there was a threat of nuclear war at the time. Now, what did happen was President Kennedy at his pushing and a show of force by the United States, they did remove those missiles. They removed them. But it was a time of abject crisis in the United States where people were in absolute fear. So that's what spawned this song. It was a song spawned from fear of destruction, literal destruction of their, not just one person's life, but the way with it we live. And so in a time of fear, they made a plea to trust God that he will give us goodness and light. goodness and light. Sorry, goodness and light. That's where this came from. And, you know, this song is certainly timely for us in 2022, where we are certainly in a time of anxiety and concern. And I honestly, for me, the biggest thing is the destruction of our culture, you know, our culture, our American culture. And it is under destruction as we speak. And as Christians, we cannot pretend that is not happening. Right? There's a serious thing happening in the world now. And the thing is, we're not gonna worry, but we're not gonna pretend it's not happening either. Because we need to pray and we need to do warfare, spiritual warfare, and speak truth where we can. But there's a time. I mean, listen, I worry about my grandchildren. I worry about your children. Okay? Because they have to be ready for things in the culture, in the schools, that you and I didn't have to worry about. Right? So we're not in fear, but man, we better get offensive. We can't just pretend it's not happening. See, because there's something to fear, right? But we got to make sure that we're going to hear God. You know, in Canada right now, if you encourage a homosexual or a lesbian to get healed, you face 2 years in prison. If someone in we have a personal ministry team. If you prayed for someone in Canada what's the phrase they use? Conversion therapy. If you were looking to convince someone in conversion therapy that homosexuality is wrong, they don't have, that's not, that God wants them to change, 5 years in prison. That's in Canada. California has tried to adopt some laws like that. Hasn't happened yet. You know, so again, we are in a wild place, let alone those who are trying to keep up with the war in Ukraine. And if you're looking around the globe, people in Iran are being killed and thrown in prison and forgotten about because of protests of their government. There is a lot of craziness going on right now. And in the midst of all this, God is still saying, I've got this. I've got it. The question is, do you hear? Do you hear the voice of God? Do we hear him? What voices are we hearing in our lives right now? And in the reason we celebrate Christmas at all is that we would refocus on who God is. Got to refocus. Again, think about that. If you've gone to the eye doctor, right? Those of us who have glasses, you know, they keep showing you a thing. What looks better, this one or this one? Which one's better? Right? Well, we got to refocus. We have to be deliberate. You know, the doctor's very deliberate in getting you to focus properly and getting you to see right. Well, we've got to refocus. That's what this season is about. That's why we celebrate communion. That's what Advent season is about. If you're ever in a denomination that's celebrated in that way, we want to focus on who God is because we want to hear what he is saying. In the ordinary day, all of us face pressure, right? That's reality. I mean, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow because every day has enough trouble of its own. So you're always listening to voices, okay? You're listening to voices. You're either listening to God, right? Or you're listening to media, listening to your friends, okay? Listening to friends. If you have good friends, that's not so bad, right? Or you're listening to yourself. That's really dangerous, right? Inside your own head. But the point is, there's always competition, these voices in your mind. You know, am I going to trust? Am I going to do what's right? Am I going to walk in fear? The question is, what do you hear? And today, we want to focus on you hearing in the Holy Spirit. God wants to speak. He wants to speak. He is speaking. And if we can learn, God, if we could just learn to walk with him and listen to his voice, it can change your life because you're going to still have pressure. Pressure is not going to go away. It's always going to be some pressure in some way. That's the way life is designed. So, man, God, help us. Help us catch this. Help us see it. I want you to be filled with more peace. I want you to walk in great peace. Now, that peace is going to mean more sacrifice. Right? It's going to be more sacrifice in your life, but it's going to yield greater peace. And so again, that's what we want. We're going to focus on hearing God. Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you, and God, we ask, Lord, that in these moments, these few moments we have, God, that we could focus on you. God, we could hear you clearly. I want to hear you, God. I want to hear what you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, again, the Christmas story, again, can center us on the only thing that we really can depend on, which is Jesus Christ. That's the only truth. That's the foundation of truth itself and truth of who God is. And one thing about Christmas this season is that, again, it accentuates all the emotions, the positive and the negative, right? There's pressures, but there's also peace. There's all this going on. I mean, again, if I say Christmas, hopefully you say Jesus, all right? But if I say Christmas, you also say shopping. I say Christmas, you say baking. If I say Christmas, you say a crowded schedule. Or I say Christmas and you say loneliness, right? All these emotions are happening in the midst of all this. And the point is, these points create other voices in your head. Other voices creating pressure in our minds. See, because we have this constant thing going on in our minds. There's promised peace, right? That's what we have. There's promised peace that we have in Jesus. But in life, there's persistent pressure. So you're promised peace, but there's persistent pressure. The pressure doesn't go away. Pressure does not go away. Tell your neighbor, say, pressure doesn't go away. Doesn't go away. It's going to be there. But there's promised peace. God, I want peace. I want to walk in that peace. I want that in my life. I desire that in my life. So again, we want to hear what God says. But to hear the Christmas story, it requires the following: that you hear God, that you believe God, and that you obey God. Next slide, please. Okay, that's what we want. Again, if you're going to hear what God's speaking, this is what it is. You got to hear, but hearing isn't enough. What's hearing? Hearing doesn't mean anything unless you are going to believe it and you're going to obey it. So we're going to look at the Christmas story here. We're going to march through this. And of course, the Christmas story happens after 400 years of silence in the Bible. There were no strong prophetic voices for 400 years, right? The Jews are living under Roman occupation, and life is not good. Life is not good. They've fallen into religious into a religious system. They're fighting that in their own way, you know, which we do still today. And what's happening is the story centers around a young girl named Mary, right? And Mary is engaged. She's in Nazareth. If it was today, she'd be searching Pinterest for a wedding venue. You know, and what happens at this time? She's encountered by the angel Gabriel. She's encountered by the angel. And in chapter 1 of Luke, the 28th verse, it says this. It says, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Favor with God. That sounds good, doesn't it? Favor. The Greek word is karituo, and it means highly favored, highly favored. Like, you're favored of God. Greetings, Mary. There's a great plan for your life is what's being spoken here. And again, you got to catch that. Great favor. You're highly favored. And again, favor is bestowed not because you're good, but because the giver is good. Right? You just have favor. Mary, you're highly favored of God. And again, so grab hold of that reality. Because what we got to learn from this first, one thing we can first grab out of this, you are favored. See, Mary didn't know she was favored. She didn't know it. It had to be told to her. The angel says, hey, you're favored. You're highly favored. And we don't recognize the favor that we have of God. And we walk around like second-class citizens, questioning our own value, questioning if we have something to say, right? And God's saying, no, you're highly favored. So you have to know who you are in God to walk in the fullness of God. And so many of us still walk around carrying guilt from past decisions and past actions. When he says, look, God doesn't even remember those things anymore. You're the only one in this relationship with God that remembers those shortcomings. Isn't that that's the goodness of God, right? So God's saying you have to know who you are. You are favored today as you're here in this room, and Jesus is the leader of your life. And again, I like here how it says in verse 29, confused and disturbed. Mary couldn't understand what this was about. Confused and disturbed. Now, this is a unique word because it's only used twice in the New Testament. And it's D-R-R-S-O. Okay. I'll say it 5 times fast and you're going to get in trouble. Okay. All right. But again, it's only used a couple times in Scripture. right? And what it means is highly. It means highly confused. Agitate greatly. Intensely going back and forth between inner thoughts and emotions. How many can relate to that? You ever go deeply back and forth with inner thoughts and emotions? Yeah, some of you live there. God wants to set you free, right? But he said, so she was disturbed. Like, what is going on? What is happening here? What's going on in this moment? And what's crazy is there's a miracle happening. There's a miracle happening. But she's confused. She doesn't get it. We don't get it. I can't help but wonder, how many miracles have we missed in our lives because we just can't believe God's doing something? How many times have we missed God? And you say, I don't think that's ever happened to me. Really? Or have we missed God at times? Because we just can't believe it. Like, that's ridiculous. Mary could have easily dismissed this out of hand. I can't help but wonder, this is total speculation, extra biblical. Did God ask other women first and they said no? They just couldn't believe it. Yeah. Maybe it was a Christmas carol that was supposed to be the Virgin Mother. Anyhow. But again, think about that. Because you had to believe. She had to hear this. And it's outlandish. It's outlandish to think. But this is what we got to catch. Look, when we hear something that requires faith, it creates in us a challenge and a choice. It creates a challenge and a choice. Next slide. Okay? We need to catch that. See, it's going to happen. See, at times you don't need your own life to create a crisis. God will create a crisis for you. See, I would hope that every one of us are in a place of faith with God, that your faith can be totally expended on the purposes of God and not on trying to keep your act together. Because so much of our faith is just on trying to live right, do right, not screw up. But no, listen, why do we do that? Because we create our own crisis. Well, I want God to create your crisis. How's that? I want God to create your crisis. I want that to happen because God will. He put Mary in this crazy, crazy place. And I've had some of those in my life. I've had several. I mean, I recall when God spoke to me very clearly. I was only a Christian for 3 months. And he said, get married now. Get married now. Get married now. Okay, well, again, we did have a wedding date. I felt God said, move it up. So we set up, we got married in under 30 days. Get married. God said, get married now. Okay. All right. There was a challenge and a choice. Challenge and a choice. We just did it. Starting a business. Now, again, I had a very good job. Some of you have heard that testimony. Again, I was 21, drove a nice car and had an office overlooking the Allegheny River. And God said, I want you to walk away from this and I want you to be a window cleaner, which I had never cleaned a window in my life that I remembered at that point, ever. I don't remember cleaning one at home. I don't remember cleaning, but God did that. And there was a challenge and a choice. A challenge and a choice. All right? And then, again, God starting this church, coming across town. Let's move across town with 5 boys, ages 7 to 0, and let's start a church with no money. Okay. A challenge and a choice. Right? God created those crises. They didn't have to be there. He created them. Right? God wants to speak to you, but at times we're saying, oh, that can't be God. Why can't it be God? Why can't it be God? Aaron Reed, who is up here testifying, for those that don't know, is the first young lady up here. You know, she has a very good job with the Veterans Administration, and she's going to walk away from that to go to the mission field full time. Okay? Listen, that's what's going to happen. She's made that decision. God created a crisis in her life. God created that. Now, there's a big prayer in that, but she's making that move. That's going to happen. She's going to be trained in April. All right? Amen? See, but God creates a crisis in your life. I hope God creates some more crises in your life. How's that? All right? Is that a nice prayer from your pastor? Listen, some of you need a good crisis. You do. You need shaken out of the malaise that we live in. All right? Again, God wants to do that. Why? See, this is the thing. We keep thinking, not me. Not me. Oh, God couldn't do that with me. God would never do that with me. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what voices are you listening to? What voices are you listening to? You know, again, some of you here, you struggle in relationship, in relationships, and you're thinking the relationship's the answer, you know, and you keep going back and doing the same thing over and over again and getting hurt the same way over and over again because you are not hearing what God is speaking. Do you hear what I hear? See, why? Because you're not trusting him. You can't believe that God has a different plan that would be better. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. See, so again, so what are we hearing? You're listening to something. You're listening to something. Man, God, continue to challenge us. So anyhow, Mary had to fight through this, confused and afraid. Right? She had to work through it. Again, she's just a teenage girl being told this. Let's look at verse 32. We're going to read through these quickly. All right? This is what it speaks. The angel is speaking of this child she's going to have. And he says, he will be very great, will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He'll reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel a very good question. How can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. Do you think Mary needed faith to accept this? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, she needed faith. She had to hear the word. See, the thing is, most of us, if you hear something that outlandish, it's like, that's not God. That's last night's pizza talking or something, right? I can't believe that God could speak such outrageous things. How could God say that to Mary? How could God tell someone with a very good job in living here in the States that they should lay that down and live by faith and don't even know what country they're going to go live in? Is there any common sense in that? No. There's none. But do you hear what I hear? Can you hear the voice of God? Can we hear, or do we just limit him? See, what happened, literally, let's face it, we limit what God can do with us. Well, God, you can do this, but you can't do that. God, I can see you using me this way, but never there. Who's making that choice? Right? You got to be able to hear. God, help us to be able to listen. Because, listen, faith interrupts the status quo. And it interrupts the status quo. And God, and it's, listen, God's into interruption. Okay, it's annoying to be interrupted. I interrupted people this morning. Okay, I know I annoyed them. So, but it was a holy kind of annoyance. But the point is, none of us like being interrupted. You know, you're focused on something. You're in a conversation. Somebody comes, just butts in. You know, or you're working on something, and someone comes in, and maybe your spouse, and they want you to do something else. It's like, it's annoying. Listen, your God reserves the right to interrupt your life. He will break in whenever he wants because he's the king. All right? And we need to be open to him interrupting our lives. And yes, he will interrupt it. That can't be God. Why not? Consider it. Consider those things. God wants to interrupt your life. This angel then told her something very important, verse 36. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Then the angel left her. Hey, Mary heard and said, I believe. Let everything you say be true. She accepted that reality. She accepted that God's word was true. Okay, you said this is going to happen. You said that I'm going to give birth as a virgin and it's going to be the Messiah. Okay. I'm going to do it. But he gave her that little tidbit of information there about Elizabeth. And it's important because, listen, once you say, yes, God, I hear you, I believe you, what you do next, I believe, is very important. Because when you're called to do outlandish things, man, you can't do them on your own. And so the angel had told her, hey, by the way, your old aunt Elizabeth is pregnant. And she was pregnant with John the Baptist. All right? And he tells her this. He tells her, everybody said she was barren. She has a child. So what does she do in verse 39? A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. And she entered the house. Zechariah was Elizabeth's husband. Entered the house. Okay, well, you see, she ran. God said something. wanted to confirm something to her, she runs to Elizabeth. Why? Because she needed somebody to talk to, for one thing, that could understand, right? So she's, okay, the angel told me about her. I'm running there. And I like you catch that. Hurried there. She hurried there. Didn't wait. I'm going to go. And then look what happened in verse 42. Okay, it says, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. In verse 45, you're blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. She had to believe. See, listen, there wasn't a blessing in hearing. She had to believe it. She believed it. And think of this. How important was this confirmation for Mary? She's been told this outlandish thing. She heard God. But now Elizabeth's saying, she sees her and says, God's blessed you. He said, man, you're carrying the Messiah, is what it says in the text, if you take time to read it. What an amazing confirmation. Listen, if you're going to hear God and you're going to walk in the fullness of God, listen, it's not just enough to hear. You got to believe. And to believe, you need other people to support you. You've got to, and Mary had two people. She had Elizabeth and her husband, her betrothed husband, Joseph. And why did Joseph believe? Did he believe because Mary told him? No, I wouldn't believe her. Who would believe her? An angel had to appear to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't believe. There were only two people that could believe, that believed it. Right? She had to, just think how she relied on them. Just think how she had to stand, man, needed to stand with them. Elizabeth confirmed that word, you know. And when you're going to hear God, you got to look for confirmation. And again, using Aaron as an example, I know she's looked for confirmation. Tell me if I'm crazy. Tell me if what this, and again, she's standing on that word God gave her. So again, God, Mary heard Elizabeth, God, but she had to have people confirm it. Okay, and so verse 46, this is cool, because right after Elizabeth encourages her, verse 46, next slide. All right, it says, Mary responded, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You know, she broke out in song, and some of you know it as the Magnificat. Right? And she sings this song of praise. She gets a song of praise. Worship, as she's heard this outlandish word, it's been confirmed, and she's in worship. She magnifies God. Now, the whole process is still happening. She still has hell to go through in her life, even in walking out this miracle, right? As a young pregnant girl at that age. Man, because God upset her life. God undid her life as anyone would know it. Really, a lot of people would say her life was destroyed. Okay, but I like that she had a song. And I would imagine she sang the song over and over because she had to remind herself as she went to tell her parents that she was pregnant but never was with a man. She had to recall the song when she went to Joseph and said, by the way, this is the Messiah that I'm carrying. She had to put up with the people talking about her and snickering and speaking behind her back. She had to put up with all those things, the ridicule. She had to be concerned about her whole family, her being thrown out of the synagogue for doing this type of thing. It was a rough 9 months is the point, man. She had to put up with a lot. And she had to be tempted to question, God, I can't believe it. What are you doing? I'm doing this for you, and look what I'm going through. But she had to keep going back. What did I hear? What was confirmed? What do I believe? Because she had to obey. Because obedience, listen, think, walking in obedience is hard. Walking in obedience is not easy. One of the things we spoke about, you know, we had a leadership connection yesterday in Murrysville. All of you were invited to. And one of the things we talked about was, you know, God doesn't make things easy. He really doesn't. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. And if you're going to follow the call of God, it's not going to be easy. This is a challenging life that we have. And I don't want any of us to think that serving God is going to be an easy thing. If your Christian life is easy, you're not listening. If your Christian life is easy, it's like, yeah, I just got to do the right thing. I just got to show up. If your Christian life is easy, you're not hearing God. Because if you're that comfortable and that doing that well, he wants to challenge you to touch and reach others. He's challenging you. He's challenging you to sacrifice your time. He's challenging you to sacrifice your money. And he's challenging you to sacrifice your emotions, putting you in uncomfortable places. He's going to challenge you in your time, your money, and your emotions. Right? So Yeah, if you're sitting here saying, yeah, well, life's pretty good. Amen. It is. But God wants to take you to a place where, trust me, now I'm gonna make this exciting. But it's going to not be easy. It's gonna take faith. Man, so I imagine Mary just kept going back, And that the next slide we have, you know, in times of uncertainty, go back to what you know. Trust the voices that can be trusted. Go back to what you know, because there's reason to question. Our common sense kicks in. In conclusion here, many of us get asked this question more than any other as a pastor is, how do I know it's God's voice? How do I know what God is saying? How do I know it? And listen, God is speaking. But I also want to tell you something else. God has spoken. Many of us are asking God, I'm looking for that specific direction when you haven't done what he's already said. All right, this book is filled with directions from God. God has already told you in this book. He said, you're to be a witness for me. You're supposed to be the right representation of me with an open mouth to people around you. He's been told that. He's told you, you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said that. The people that aggravate you, he said you need to love them the way you love yourself. He's told you to keep unity in the church family at all costs. At all costs, keep unity. Work at being one. Don't let anything come between us. That's in the book. He already spoke it. It's already in here. He's already told you 10% of your income is his. And he also commends those who give generously above that. Right? He already said those things. It's already said. He commends those who sacrificially give of their time and their emotion. See, don't say you haven't heard God. He's spoken very clearly here. And a lot of us, if we would do these basics, should hear God clearer in other things. Right? You got to go back to the basic. What is God speaking to you? And as for some of you, this is the interruption of God in your life. Because right now, you know what? He did say all those things. He has spoken them. I just don't hear it. See, what voices are we going to listen to? To hear the Christmas story, to walk in life, you have to hear it, you have to believe it, and you have to obey it. And to obey it, I got to remember what I heard, and I got to believe. I need people to walk with me, to walk in the life that he has for me. Here's the first stanza of the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? This is the first stanza. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky with a voice as big as the sea. See, I believe God has spoken. He has spoken to us. Some of us, again, God spoke some other thing, but he has spoken to us really loud, very loudly, but we're not hearing. We're not hearing. And he's speaking through other things. Yeah, I shared a little bit last week. My wife's serving your children right now on the lower level. But again, God's put a challenge before us again, a new challenge of my traveling. And some of you know it's prophetic, been spoken over me, prophetically over us for many years. You're going to travel. And I do. But it's going to be accelerated. And right now, I mean, I'm scheduled to be overseas probably 5 times next year. And again, that doesn't excite us. There's challenges to that. There's challenges. But we've heard God. We're going to believe that he's going to provide for ways for that to happen. And we're going to obey it. But he's created the crisis. He creates the crisis. Are you hearing God and allowing him to create a crisis in your life? We've got to be willing to be in that place. And again, I know when Dawn and I, as we're talking about it and being apart and how's it all going to work, and it's okay, God. We go back to the word. You said. What did God say? This is what he said. We believe. And being confirmed by other people. What's God spoken to you? Like, I want to encourage you, like those of you part of a connection group, you've heard God. It's like, we have to preserve unity. I have to build people. I am going to be there. I'm going to be in there. I want to build others. I want to encourage. I want to comfort others. I want to walk in unity to release the power of the Holy Spirit. I will sacrifice my time, right? We talk about these cards, about inviting people to know Jesus Christ, right? Again, for a lot of us, that's a sacrifice of emotion because it's uncomfortable. God, I'm going to do it. You've said, man, you've told me to be a witness. I'm going to do these. I am going to do these things. I'm going to hear, I believe, and I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey the Lord. But God's challenging us. See, He is speaking. He is speaking. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear what He's speaking? Do we have ears? Let's pray. Father, we come before You. And God, we thank You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the gift of Your Son. We don't run by that. Thank You for the gift of Your Son. We're here today. We're filled with life. We're filled with hope. We're filled with purpose. But God, we recognize, Lord Jesus, that so often we don't listen to Your voice. I want to hear Your voice, God. I want to do what the book says to do, what You've already told me to do. And I want to hear beyond that. I want to hear, God, I want to hear maybe I'm supposed to go to the mission field. I want to hear maybe I'm supposed to change jobs. I want to hear, God, what are You speaking? And God, I accept it's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to be a sacrifice. Interrupt my life. Create a crisis that I could live my life fully for You. Even as we were singing earlier, Father God, to do whatever You want to. Can you tell God that? Right now, again, just to yourself or out loud. Tell Him. If you can, God, do whatever You want to. God, do whatever. God, it's hard for me to say it. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. God, do whatever You want to. I want to hear Your voice. Your voice. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. If there were people here, anyone here, and you've come to a place where you know about God, but you don't know Him as a leader of your life. You don't know Him as the one that you follow. You've heard these words and you're like, man, God, I'm hearing something different. I'm hearing a God that's exciting. I'm hearing a God that's filled with life. I'm hearing a God who would forgive me for my past and give me hope for my future. If you're here today and that's you, I just want to, again, I challenge you. I challenge you to raise your hand so we can come and speak with you and pray with you. Again, because this is important. It's the biggest day of your life. Amen. Biggest day of your life. This is where it starts, God, that we would hear Your voice. And Father God, again, I pray, Lord, that this month people are open. They're open more than ever to come into a meeting like this and experience God. Father, give us the nations. Psalm 2:8. Give us the nations. Father, let us be people who are proud and willing to be uncomfortable, proud of You, willing to be uncomfortable, and invite people into Your Spirit. Invite them into Your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Let's keep questioning ourselves. What am I hearing?